Greetings, Earth Explorers, and welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the... Let me start over again. I'm getting a real bad crackling noise here somehow. Loose wire or something. Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight or listening on the web, while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle. Recline your chair and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. I do want to remind you that the Shvachman-Bachman comet has now split into 41 major pieces, is heading across the Ring Nebula in the Lyra system. You'll be able to see it with a pair of binoculars or a telescope. I think we have an approaching thunderstorm. My AccuWindow forecast says we have lightning outside, and that's why you hear a little bit of crackling over the line. Anyway, you want to look at toward the Ring Nebula in the Lyra system, and you'll be able to see those pieces of the comet as it comes in. Somewhere around the 12th or 13th of May, we should have one marvelous meteor shower. Some of those may be even visible during the day. Also wanted to let you know not to forget that the Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, 2012, and the Harvest of the End Times is now in print. You can buy it everywhere, but if you want an autographed copy, there are two ways to get one. You can see me at a book signing coming up at Barnes & Noble in Owensboro, Kentucky, on the 13th of May, or you can go to arcofmillionsofyears.com. Make sure you spell that with a K, like Noah's Ark, and you could order a copy. And if you put in the word Saturn in the code box, you will get free shipping. You only can find that out if you listen to this broadcast. Or you can come and see me at Read More Books next weekend, next Saturday, at the Madisonville Mall in Kentucky. I'll sign your book in person. We'll get started around noon. If you want to stay current on our programs, guests, books, CDs, DVDs, and other outstanding stuff for your space, you can make X Squared Radio your favorite place on the web at x2-radio.com. We want to welcome our AM affiliates who build every week. We'll be recognizing them station by station before too long. And your many requests that this program and network be placed onto XM or Sirius. I believe everything we do will eventually affect the universe. Your effects are having their effect, and I appreciate it. Tonight, our guest is in studio. She has been involved with Wicca since she was 17 years old. We won't discuss her age. Her psychology thesis was on the effects of the occult within society. Wicca has been thrown into the occult, but is not a religion of the occult. In addition to her being one of the great counselors and emotional caregivers in Western Kentucky, she has exhibited powerful intuitive skills she calls physical knowing. Please welcome Valerie Gale. How are you tonight, Valerie?
I'm fine. How are you, Brooks?
Doing very well. We're going to discuss a subject I know probably nothing about. You know, scientists, we try to gather data, we try to do experiments, we like formulas, we like things that make sense and are repeatable. And when it comes to things like clairvoyance or even the subject of witchcraft, I have all kinds of, I guess, not prejudices, but I have ideas that may have already been made up in my mind. And if I do, that means lots of people do, and our listeners do.
Oh, yes.
So one of the things that I want to make sure that we get out of the way is the difference between Wicca, or if there is one, a difference between Wicca and what we know as witchcraft.
Wicca is considered witchcraft, but the preconceived idea of witchcraft puts into your mind dark magic, evil spells, worship of Satan, satanic rituals, and so forth. The Wicca religion dates back to Paleolithic man. It's the oldest religion in the world, the oldest known religion. It sets the preface for Christianity. The Wiccan religion is all natural and white energy, which is good energy. There are many, many, many rules and rites of passage within Wicca. And one of the very first things to clear up, you know, is the fact that someone that is Wiccan or studies the Wicca religion perceive them as being promiscuous and devil worshippers and into drugs and stuff. There is none of that allowed within the Wicca religion. It is just simply not done. We are people who celebrate the earth and nature, and we have respect for everything that was created. And in my journey, I have always included the new religion, which is Christianity, because I believe that if you did not have Wicca, you could not have Christianity, and they have to work hand in hand. And that is the very first thing we need to get out of the way. Anyone who believes that Wicca is of evil origins, no, it was a simple way of life that became an ingrained way of life that became a religion whenever Christianity was brought onto earth. Christianity became the main religion, and Wicca was a pagan religion, so it was looked at as it was evil.
Well, now, what exactly does pagan mean? I mean, we have a tendency to isolate things between, in religions, as canonized or not canonized. They're approved by the church or disapproved by the church. And it doesn't take much investigation into art or religion or history to find that there are just lots and lots of people that have been oppressed by overbearing, tyrannical religious leaders. Lots of people have died in the name of God. And one of the favorites to attack, to round up and treat poorly, are pagans. So what exactly is a pagan?
When Christianity became the new religion, and most Wiccan followers, most Wicca followers, call Christianity the new religion. Everything that was not of God became pagan. Every ritual, every celebration, every holiday became pagan. Christmas and Easter are also pagan holidays. Now, Christmas is used to celebrate the birth of Christ. Christ was actually born in September. Worldwide, Christians celebrate the birth of Christ on the 25th. That comes from a pagan ritual that starts on the 21st of December.
Which celebrates new life, or?
Celebrates the beginning of the return of the sun.
Oh.
It welcomes the sun back into life.
So the winter solstice.
Yes.
I see.
Winter
I see.
Solstice.
That's interesting. And, of course, in the early 4th century, somewhere around 310 or 320,
yes.
Government leaders adopted Christianity as the state religion. And I guess in order to make the transition painless or more acceptable, they adopted a lot of the ancient pagan holidays, colors, rites, saints' names, all of those things, to try to make it easy for people to
yes.
slide in. Is
yes.
it?
Christmas comes straight from Candlemas.
I see.
Which most people do not realize that, but being that I have intensely studied both religions, and I was really amazed to find how many of the Christian celebrations are actually the same celebrations that the Wicca religion followed that have become Christian holidays. And I agree with you, it was done simply to make the transition easier, to make people more accepting. Now, in the early 4th century, people like me, who could tell you when you became pregnant that you were pregnant and that what the sex of your baby was going to be, or what kind of health problems you were going to have, or had a knowing that something was coming. We were revered as people who were sent by whichever deity you choose to believe in to take care of you. Now people such as myself are viewed as inappropriate. We are feared in today's society. People who have any time of clairvoyance, they are not looked at as God has the ability, or whichever deity you believe in has the ability to put people on this earth who is more perceptive. We are not allowed to be. We are feared. And, you know, there was a time when we were celebrated. And it still should be that way. Because whichever deity you choose to believe in and whichever religion you choose to follow, it all boils down to one thing. There are people on this earth who are more perceptive to what is going around on around them than others. And it really, to me, it is really devastating because I have children, and two of them have the same type of perception, clairvoyance, if you will, that I do. And they are persecuted, or have been persecuted, by their friends. And one of them is not even a teenager yet. And she can touch your hand and tell you if you're ill, when you're going to be better, if you're pregnant, what the sex of the child is going to be. She was born with that, same as I was. And for me, it's devastating.
So this ability is, it can be inherited. It's a certain genetic trait that people have.
I don't know if it's a genetic trait. I feel more like it's instinctual. I feel like being as my heritage allows, it has always been in my family on both sides. There has always been one member of my immediate bloodline that has had the gift I have. So I believe mine is an inherited instinct. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know if there's a genetic code to make it or not. But I do know that there are millions of people on this earth like me. There's just millions of us.
You know, it's interesting. I grew up in the Catholic Church. And as Christian churches go, I suppose they're probably more ritualistic and more full of symbols and statues and different kinds of crosses and colors and candles and all kinds of things that go with it that other religions don't necessarily adopt. I mean, they adopt some of those things, but I think the Catholic Church is really the origin of all that. But what you're telling me is that the founders of the Catholic Church probably inherited all of those things, with the exception of, well, maybe even the cross, I don't really know, inherited all of those things from ancient pagan rites.
Yes, they did.
What would be interesting to know, and it's one of the purposes of this program, because this is where the past meets the future, it would be interesting to know where the pagans originally got their knowledge, because it's, whether I'm talking about ancient Atlanteans, or I'm talking about the ones who founded Egypt, or we're talking about Eskimos or Nordics, they all seem to have this same root, this common theme through their religion of planets and stars, where the days get longer and get shorter, and they always record, either in stone or gold or writing or song, special people that have these extra intuitive abilities. They help the tribe survive. They help small communities weather cataclysms, disasters. Recently, a couple of years ago, we had a tsunami that struck, but there was a tribe that lived in a low-lying area. Not one of them was injured by this tsunami because the shaman or the religious leader of this tribe sensed that something was going to happen. Now, here's what's interesting. Not only did he sense it, but he spoke it to his people. We need to get to higher ground. Here it is, a beautiful, sunshiny day, not a cloud in the sky. Not one villager questioned this man. They obeyed him. They picked up their belongings, they headed up the hill, and they all survived.
That's because they have not reached the modern age. The modern age that we have reached says that if that little screen doesn't tell you something's coming, it's not coming. The point that you have just made about everyone that has been up on the earth since whichever beginning you choose to believe has always had someone that is more perceptive. And that's why it amazes me that people that are more perceptive are not respected more, but in modern countries we're not. And that is because people don't look at Christianity and say, well, the prophets of the Bible told people what were coming, and they were listened to. Now we have evolved to a point that we're egotistical as a human race. We believe that we can create machines that will tell us more than what our own intuition will.
Well, one of the things that I did notice of what you said is that the prophets were believed in many cases, especially in the Old Testament. Well, for that matter, the New Testament. These religious leaders, whether it's Isaiah or Ezekiel or David or even Christ himself, were not completely accepted by the people.
Correction. They were not believed by the persons in power.
Very good observation.
That is the difference. The average Joe, as you will, the average human at that time, what would be considered the second-class citizen, they knew. They knew. Whenever any of the prophets within the Bible, they knew. They did not doubt. And that's because their intelligence had not been pushed to the point that they were all-knowing.
Oh, they became rational and stopped listening to that, shall we call it a still small voice,
yes,
that speaks wisdom to you.
They became so educated that they knew more than what nature was telling them. And that's why we have famine and disease and things that run rampant in our society today. In early Wicca, in all of Wicca, there are rites of passage for every part of your life. And if you look at the native tribes throughout history and how they became adults, how they performed marriages, how they became the shaman or whatever part they worked within their society, they followed in the footsteps of someone that chose them to do this. They were not actually the person, not all the time were they the person's child or sibling or niece. They were hand-picked because of their abilities.
Because they showed a propensity for,
yes,
for that skill.
Yes, and it's not that way today. I became interested in the Wiccan religion, in Wicca, because of the challenge to put out the thought that this is not evil. This is not something that is going to condemn you to the underworld or world or hell, as you will. This is just not, you know, because that's the, in Christianity, it's black and white. Well, you know, if you follow Christianity and you say, well, God created the heavens and the earth and God created the humans and the animals, then he gave us the knowledge to care and take care of all of this. Well, people from the Wicca belief and the Wiccan religion, they knew that the earth and its bounties were what we were supposed to respect. Humans today do not do that. That's why people of Wicca are frowned upon, because we've been called granola people, crunchy people, hippies, as you will.
Tree huggers.
Tree huggers, yes, and that is something I do every day. I do hug my tree every day because it gives me strength. I'm sorry. Every day, if you are stressed out, barefoot, outside, back against the tree, 30 minutes, with your eyes closed and deep breathing, and I can guarantee you will get up and be a new person. Whether the tree is actually giving you energy or not, I can guarantee you will feel better. And I am very, very loving of my trees, very.
Well, I do want to let our listeners know that we have a new toll-free number. anywhere on the planet, toll free 877-876-5227. You can call into the BBS Radio Network and talk to us here at X Squared Radio. I have before me more notes than we could possibly go through in 3 hours, because there's so much here. It's literally creation and the interpretation of the universe in what appears to be a fine art. Although it may not be what I would consider a science, repeatable every single time, the results are unmistakable. One of the things that I notice, and I don't want to sway my listeners one way or the other, but there is an energy field around a human body. You know, we've interviewed people here before about yoga and about chakras and things like that. But there is definitely an aura around a human entity, a human body, a human soul, a living person. And those auras can not only assume different colors, but can assume different shapes. They can reach out to other people. They can shield themselves from other people. And intuitives, like Valerie and like some of our listeners, and certainly some of the hosts of other programs on BBS Radio Network, are sensitive to this. They can see these kinds of things. But the aura, from a scientific point of view, is that life energy field that surrounds all living things, not just people, but also plants.
That's true.
So when you are you sensitive to auras? Can you see these things?
Yes. Another thing about that is, one scientific thing for sure, what makes us human is the electric impulses within our body. Okay? That is proven. Because, like, with your heart goes on electrical pulses. That comes through your body, and that's basically what it is electricity. When you go into atrial fibrillation or you have a heart attack, what do they use to set your heart back? Electricity. Electricity has a color. Every living thing that creates anything upon this earth has that same life force. It's just in different variations. And that is one thing that that Wicca really responds to, is what is called magic in Wicca, is basically the refocusing of the electrical impulses of the auras that are around you. And that is channeling those that electricity or magic, if you will, into creating the positive outcome that you want. In Wicca, it is very frowned upon to use any of your knowledge for monetary gain, to hurt someone else, or for selfish reasons. Those things are simply not done.
There's a motto to Wicca.
Yes, it is, do what you will, but harm none.
Harm none.
Do what you will, but harm none is the actual saying.
Well, that sounds like we could just replace the entire Constitution, Bill of Rights, and everything if people would just obey that, as Bill and Ted used to say, be excellent to one another.
Yes. Yes, it is my theory that as you walk through life, and this is a Wiccan belief, and up until recently, I had never seen this. And it was in one of my new books that I have read, and I have said this statement ever since I can remember. You know, I remember back to like 2 years of age. I have a very good memory of my history. But I can remember being 5 and 6 years old and telling people, you have walked through my life for a reason. Every person that touches your life every day leaves something and takes something. If you remember that, whenever you are interacting with people, that you are going to take something from them and leave something with them, it changes your whole outlook about the human experience. You do not have time to be negative. And if you are negative, you say exactly what you think. You don't candy coat it. You don't try to appease the person by making them feel better. You know, with me, and my children hate this, wrong is wrong is right, right is right. I do have the ability to see the gray shades and to talk about them, but when it comes down to it, to be a truly good human being, regardless of what religion you are, you have to devote yourself to being the type of person you would want to have in your life. Because if you cannot be that person, you can never help another human being.
You mentioned earlier that the electrical impulses in the human body, that's sort of what makes us human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I think about this a little bit, it might be that the soul itself, or the spirit itself, when it dwells in the body, is what creates the electricity in the human body and makes it function. When the human body is no longer capable of conducting that electricity, or the parts have worn out, or there's a hole in it somewhere, or a circuit broken somewhere,
yes,
then the electricity can no longer flow. But that makes that person human, that spirit, it continues, does it not?
Yes, it does. Now, in the Wicca religion, reincarnation is a big controversial thing. Some people within Wicca believe, most people within Wicca believe in reincarnation. There are those who don't. Okay? Either way you look at it, whenever you are no longer here, your spirit, soul, however you choose to say it, has to go somewhere. Okay? That is too much energy just to be left floating out there in space. There is a place for us. And whether it is God's heaven or the Vikings' Valhalla, or whether it is an ancient temple in China where your ancestors are supposed to be with their spirits, whichever you believe, you first have to understand that that's what makes you human was part of nature before it became human. And whatever spark that is, it goes on for eternity. It never stops. And in realizing that, you realize that you have the ability to channel all of that energy into positive thinking and happy thoughts and bring light to those around you and to be able to predestine, if you will, what you're going to do with yourself.
Well, now you mentioned something really interesting, and that is that you are sharing light with people.
Yes.
That to me sounds good. It doesn't sound like somebody mixing up a potion or putting a curse or a hex on somebody. This sounds like something that spiritually we can contribute one person to another person.
That is my personal belief. Now, you talked about potions. There are people who practice Wicca, witchcraft, that never in their entire practice create a potion or a balm or a spell. They simply live their life by the Wicca creed and commune with nature. There are others who believe that they have to create spells and potions every day. Personally taboo for me right now is potions. It's the one thing I haven't really gotten into yet. I read tarot cards. Of course, you know this because you've seen me in action, which is another side of Wicca. And it really, really bothers me sometimes when I see on television the so-called psychics with the tarot cards. And they're always Jamaican-accented ladies. Okay, the religion in Jamaica, other than Christianity, borders on voodooism, which has absolutely nothing to do with Wicca. And tarot cards are part of Wiccan religion. How they got to get intertwined with the voodoo occult religion, I have no clue. And you get these wonderful books that are written by people on tarot and tarot reading and what each card means. And it just, you know, to me, sometimes it's just dumbfounding, the amount of information. But the one thing you know for sure, when you find your area, that area of Wicca that fits you, something that you will do every single day, you know, because it's almost like a natural extension of you. I read the book over a period of 3 months, the ones that I thought were appropriate for me, and I started reading tarot cards during and you've seen me read them, and you know. I mean, you know, we had an instance with one of the ladies where we all hang out, and she came to me, and she said, would you read my cards? And I'm like, sure, I'll read your cards. And I kept on turning up cards, and I looked at her, and I said, you're pregnant. And, of course, she was. And I have told people many, many, many times, you go into doing something with a ritual, a spell, a tarot reading, a blessing, and you go into it with one purpose in mind. And there will be so many times when you will get to the middle of it and you will realize, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be doing something else. Like when I lay the tarot cards down, they speak to me. I actually know what I should actually say. And I don't know if the cards are just an extension to help me realize that, or whether they're actually communing with me. Some people think they have their own energy, and they actually send their energy to you, and it becomes a clairvoyant message. And I just, it's weird. It's not like, that's it. It's very calm and very quiet, and the words just come out without control. It's just knowing. That's why I call it a physical knowing, because it's just there.
Well, one of the interesting things that I noticed when I looked at your tarot cards, I can't read them. I mean, I can read the English words on them and look at the pictures, but I noticed some of the pictures are the same diagrams that are in the ancient Kabbalah,
yes,
especially in the oldest parts, the Zohar, and more recently translated section called the Sefer Yetzirah, which was translated by Ariel Kaplan, who, as luck would have it for me, was a physicist.
Yes.
And so the language that he used, some of it was mathematical, but most of it was theoretical physics, how
yes,
those things fit together.
Yes.
And so I can see where the patterns, the charts, the interactions between different energies would be important to know. And I guess what I have a question about, I don't doubt it, but I'm really curious about it, is when you prepare the cards for reading.
Yes.
Do you shuffle them? Do you mix them up on a table? It would seem to me that there's some kind of random order that they are arranged from top to bottom, so that when you start turning them over, there's kind of a chance to it. And I know you can't see this, but her jaw is open right now. So I know I'm not trying to be a doubter. But, you know, experimentation and repeatability is something that adds a lot of credibility to science. And I'm not saying science is everything, because certainly it is kind of a fable from age to age, and now as rapidly as things are changing, almost from year to year, things that we knew to be true a year ago, we now go, well, okay, those were only partially true. Now we have more knowledge, and guess what? As science progresses, as we physicists become smarter and smarter, guess what we're aligning with? We're aligning with the same energies, the same images, the same interrelations and transdimensional relationships that Wicca understands and have understood for millennia.
Since Paleolithic man. It dates back that far because I read a wonderful series of books when I was a teenager, and as I became an adult, and of course they are fiction. It's Gene All, Clan of the Cave Bear, Valley of the Horses, The Mammoth Hunters, and The Plains of Passage. And as you read these books, you realize that somewhere down the line, because there's reference notes in these books for scientists and for archaeologists and so on. The books are based on the story of one woman's journey from Cro-Magnon man beginnings. And you see all of these things. There is the shaman in the clan, which was not Cro-Magnon man. It was, and I just went blank, so.
Well, don't say Neanderthal.
There it was.
It was Neanderthal man, okay.
And see, from Neanderthal crossing over to Cro-Magnon. And you realize that the hieroglyphics, wall paintings, the rituals that are talked about, these are things that have actually been unearthed. And that terrifies people to think about that, because it makes them doubt Christianity. Well, you know, there's two beliefs. There is creation and there is evolution. I am very controversial because there could have been no creation without evolution, and there can be no evolution without creation.
You must have read the books.
Actually, no. You know, 100 years ago, just think, 100 years ago, how were we living as people?
Oh, we were barely agrarian. We did not fly. We really did not have mass transit at all. We lived locally. We might have traveled by horseback. But basically, between agriculture and technology, we've been about the same for about 3,000 years.
Okay. Now, okay, we have all of these theories that support evolution, which scares Christians. Well, it does not say anywhere how long that first day or that first night was. We assume it was 24 hours, which is very egotistical of us. There is no way that we are not evolving. I mean, have you looked at the cell phone you were using earlier? The first one that came out, you had to have a suitcase to carry it. And now it's the size of a credit card. Before the end of my life, provided I get to stay another 50 or 60 years, which I really want to do, we will have a microchip in our ear that will be implanted with a syringe. And we will be able to think. Now, this is possible now. We will be able to think of who we want to talk to. And that electrical impulse, once again, that electrical impulse will go to that person. There will be nothing that we hold in our hands. Think about it.
Well, that's just the technology. You know, I look at the anthropology of man. Of course, Neanderthal is not genetically related to Cro-Magnon man or humans at all. I mean, it's a completely different species altogether. But doesn't necessarily mean that knowledge couldn't have been transferred from one race to another. But what it does tell me is simultaneously on this planet, there were two completely distinct races of humans.
Yes.
Now, you know that I'm a proponent that we are not alone in the universe.
It'd be egotistical to think we are.
Yeah, there are travelers, and there are explorers, and there are experimenters, and there is genetic proof that someone has been playing with the genetic code.
Oh, yeah.
We also know from the author of Biochemical Predestination, which was a best-selling textbook, probably one of the most renowned textbooks on biochemistry in the world, that same author was faced with a question by a student or a graduate student. It basically went like this. Okay, we understand that proteins can evolve, that through natural selection, through environmental forces, through exposure to different kinds of radiation, proteins can evolve, and by random chance. But the question was, where did the first protein come from? And, you know, he could not answer the question with his biochemistry. What he had to decide, ultimately, by Occam's razor, is that DNA has to be present in order for the first protein to be created.
Yes.
And DNA is an engineered molecule. It did not evolve. So exactly what you said, you have some creation, and then you have some evolution.
And I think most people who are of the Wicca and Wiccan beliefs, as you will, we had a question about that before I come on. Wicca is the religion. Wiccan is the person. And it's hard when you speak because the word Wiccan sounds more correct, which, of course, you know, Americans pride themselves on being well-spoken. And I think most people of the Wicca believe as I do, that there could be no evolution without creation and there could be no creation without evolution. They have to go hand in hand. And if you look at the way that every species is changing on this earth every day, you realize that. And I see that, you know, you were talking about my tarot cards. They have evolved. They have evolved from stones with drawings on them, which now use the runes, which are the casting stones. You know, tarot was drawn in the dirt. It was painted on the wall. Eventually I made it to parchment, then to paper, and now we have all these nice little printing things. So you can just have beautiful, beautiful cards made. And I have a very beautiful set. Mine is the Gilded Tarot, and actually my second deck of these. And I will probably buy my third deck this summer because these are worn out. But when you look at the cards, they each have a specific meaning within the tarot. And sometimes, even with that card down and you knowing that it has a specific meaning, you're looking at it in context to the whole reading and you're seeing, no, that's not what it means in this particular reading. And for me, and I know there are so many people who will disagree with me. I know this. There are so many people who read tarot, and there's so many different ways. It's very personal with everyone. It is like an intimate relationship with another person. It really is. And when I lay the cards out, I have to look at the context where I'm at and the person that I'm at. And you've seen me do it hundreds of times already. It just is natural. And you know, I give them the reading that is spoken to me within myself from looking at the cards. And, you know, everyone who reads tarot does it different. They have different rituals for cleaning and energizing their cards, have different ways to lay the cards out to read. I have a specific number of cards that you, or times you shuffle the cards in a specific way. You have to shuffle them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't feel my reading is correct. And that is something that is very personal. Most of the things that are done within Wicca are very personal. They're very quiet. Personally, me, I believe that when you are dealing with whatever deities, life forces, if you will, whichever one you're dealing with at a particular rite of passage or a particular ritual, you deal with them in the way that it personally fits you.
One of the things that I noticed when I was traveling in Europe, traveling in the UK, is that the chapels, the old chapels, the ancient chapels, are built upon what the locals call and what texts call ley lines.
Yes.
And these are like energy fissures in the earth itself. Doesn't necessarily mean there's a river or a canyon or a cliffside. It's something that's like a separate kind of mapping system for the earth.
Yes.
And I also noticed that when they build these chapels, they like to build them on intersections of these lines. In fact, Roslyn Chapel is built on top of, gosh, I don't know, maybe more than 50 or 60 ley lines intersecting one place. So when you're talking about this life energy, this creative force, it is tied to the earth.
Yes.
And in Wicca, there is a process called grounding.
Yes.
How does that work? It's sort of like you neutralize bad energy in yourself. Somehow you connect yourself to the earth and all the static in your soul gets...
It's like the joke I made about the tree. You know, about the tree hugger, you know. Once again, it's personal. You have to find your own area of comfort. You have to find, as you will, your zone.
So some people really like trees. Some like the sea.
Yes.
Some like the desert.
Yes.
Me,
I
like the clouds.
Yes.
I like to fly.
Yeah. Now, see, I have strict beliefs. There are five elements. There's Akasha, which is the first element. And it is always white. Akasha is it's the energy. It is this life force energy that we have been talking about. It's called Akasha.
Is that linked to the Akashic records?
You know, I was asked that the other day, and I haven't studied it enough to know. So I can't give you an answer.
The Akashic records, from other interviews that I've had are like the ultimate source of truth.
Yes.
And they do not discriminate between good or evil people that try to get information from the Akashic Records. But they freely give the information as long as you practice or exercise the protocol for getting that information. There's no pretense. For instance, there's no withholding the information because you're going to use it for evil. In fact, if you... And this may go along with Wicca as well. I wanted to ask you this, too. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, it's all in God's hands. You know, God will make this happen or God will not allow this to happen. Actually, from my reading of all the scriptures I can get my hands on, God cannot not allow things to happen. He must allow everyone to make their choices.
Yes.
And to commit their crimes or commit their acts of goodness, because not only is it through those acts that they will be judged, but it is also through those acts that they evolve as a human soul. And so for a god, any god, to step in and say, you cannot do this. I am as Lord preventing you from doing this. That in and of itself is an interference with that person or that group of people in fulfilling their destiny.
Yes.
And I understand a lot of people have lost their religion because they've said, you know, no God would allow this to happen. There can be no God because of World War I, or there can be no God because of genocide in Africa. But it's quite the contrary.
Yes, it is. Because whichever religion you choose to believe in, whichever deity you choose, or if you choose two or three and put one first, you always respect the others. But it is simply impossible for any deity to allow no bad to happen. There has to be balance. Balance means that there is an equal amount of good and bad, and there has to be balance. And we were talking about the elements, okay? It says, I have brought some books with me. One of my favorite is The Craft, A Witch's Book of Shadows by Dorothy Morrison. And in this book it says, Akasha, the first element. Color, white or purple. It is the center of the universe. In your rulership, body rulership, the human aura and the brain. That is Akasha. That is goes all the way back to that life force, the electrical impulse that we were talking about. It is the very first element recognized in Wicca, the life force. Then, of course, you have fire, which would be the sun, basically. And you have water, which, of course, is blue, which is water. We all know this. You have air. And you have earth. Those are the five elements.
Earlier in this hour, you had mentioned that, you know, in creation, you know, people say, well, the earth was created in 6 days, and a day is whatever time they say it is. Most people say, well, a 1,000 years to man is as 1 day to God, so it was 1,000 years, so therefore the earth was created in 6,000 years exactly, and it can be no other way. I understand that. Actually, I don't have a problem with that, because time is absolutely arbitrary, depending on where you are in gravity.
Yes. And, you know, that's funny that you bring that up, because we watched the movie National Treasure, and I don't know if you have watched it or not, but when they were trying to find all these clues, to find all of this treasure, you know, that they were looking for, on the money that they were looking at, they looked at the time, and one of the things was, well, they had not missed a specific time because at the time there was no daylight saving time. So time is completely irrelevant to what we're speaking of, because everything that we are speaking of as far as we know as time is not natural. It is man-made.
Well, you know, even today, if you didn't have a watch, you would simply look at sunrise and sunset, right?
Yes.
You'd say, well, this is a day. The sun rose and the sun set, and that's a day. In fact, that's what it says in the scripture. It says, and the morning and the evening,
yes.
And it was the first day, and yes. It was good.
But since none of us were with whichever way the world was created, and you're talking specifically about scripture, since we're here on the earth at this particular time, and we can't look at the deity, God, and say, how long was the first day and the first night? To me, it's irrelevant.
Well, not only that, if you look at just Genesis, and of course there are lots and lots of creation stories, but let's just talk about Genesis in the Bible. In the English translation, the word day, or morning and evening, the earth did not get the sun and moon until the third day.
Yes.
So the first 2 days could not have been measured by the earth revolving on its axis with the sun pointing at it.
And on top of that, we did not know that the earth revolved on its axis to create a day until when? So how did Paleolithic man measure time? It was intuitive.
I see. Very interesting. In any case, at least there is scientific premise,
yes,
to take apart what the Greeks would call a syllogism, to take that apart and say the premise is flawed, and so therefore the earth could not have been created in exactly 6,024-hour days as we know them today.
Yes.
But as I said, your faith can say whatever it needs to say in order to make you feel secure.
Religion is exactly what you just said. It is a way to put our minds at ease about the things that are coming. Christianity is a wonderful religion. I was raised in a Christian home. I study both religions every day. I study many other things every day. And that is because I homeschool. I still have 2 that are little, and I homeschool because they were not being taught to think abstract, which, Brooks, you do that amazingly, and you know I do. But they were not being taught to thought abstract. Everything was 1 or 2 certain ways. And no matter what life force, where you are in life, who you are, how you were raised, life is not that simple. It cannot be broken down into simply one way or the other. And that's one of the reasons that that Wicca gets such a bad name, is because people who are in tune with nature and with themselves and in harmony with the people around them in their life, they are thought to be unstable. Whereas in the 4th century, we were the desired person. We were the person that everybody wanted to be like. And now we're the outcast.
So when the village leader said, we need to know when to plant our corn so that the frost won't kill it, you know, when it first shoots up, please, go find me a Wicca person so that we know when to do this.
No. They were already, the persons with the perception were already there. It's an intuition. It's really bad for the kind of statement you just made to come out, because that is actually what people do and have done to create the insecurities with people who are of different religions. And that is just simply something that I personally wouldn't do to somebody. I wouldn't say, oh, you're Roman Catholic, so I have to tell you whenever you need to plant your crops and whenever you need to try to have a child and stuff.
Well,
see, that would be wrong.
But what I have seen, especially in clan warfare,
yes,
is that one of the desired enemy people to take out or to capture was the shaman.
Yes.
It was the spiritual leader of those people.
Yes.
They knew that if they could kill or capture or somehow neutralize, cut the tongue out of whatever shaman was giving them the information that allowed them to proliferate in a very hostile wilderness, they would have a distinct advantage.
Yes, because it's just like Christianity today. They took the power, the security blanket, away from whoever they were that they were fighting. Because that religious leader, shaman, tribe leader, priest, whoever they considered to be in charge of them whenever they passed into the afterlife, to give them that advantage, when that person was taken away, they lost all of their faith.
Well, not necessarily true. The difference is that when a religious leader is killed, it creates a martyr.
Yes.
And so the people's faith can actually be stronger. Misguided sometimes,
but
stronger.
That's within Christianity.
Right.
But we were not talking about Christianity. We were talking about pagan religion.
Yes. The difference is that in pagan religion, if you take out the leader, people wander around like a chicken with their head cut off because the skill set's gone.
And that's why they consider these pagan religions, because they're, quote, according to others, non-educated religions. Whereas if you read about the pagan religions, and most especially about Wicca, they are by no means misguided. No means. There is a list of...
Excellent point. We were going to take about 3 minutes and do some commercials, and my guest is Valerie Gale. She is a intuitive counselor in Western Kentucky. She's been studying Wicca since she was 17 years old. I'm Brooks Ogden. This is X Squared Radio. One of the things that we have learned here at X Squared Radio from our emails is that many listeners to this program are educators. Well, we have recently added a great affiliate for you. The Academic Superstore is a place where you can buy software, neat tools and gadgets, and even supplies, such as calculators and iPod peripherals at huge discounts. The best things for the classroom and for the student are just a tax-free click away. All you have to do is click the Academic Superstore sign at X Squared Radio and start saving. The space shuttle fleet is very soon going to be retired. No other spacecraft in history has advanced the world more than this fleet. I wanted a way to keep that memory alive in my home, so I went to the space store and ordered a 25-inch model of the Space Orbiter. People who have seen it always comment on the incredible attention to detail in this model. I think if you know someone who loves the space program and you want to get them a gift that they will never forget, you should visit the Space Store at X Squared Radio. You know, people are always looking for something inexpensive and unique to give people they love. And with Mother's Day and Father's Day coming up, well, now there is a way to give a gift that not only says how long you will love them, but it will also help you to keep the planet green and growing. Tree Givers is the company that will plant a tree on public lands somewhere in the 50 states and provide your special person with a beautiful certificate of that placement. This has become one of the most popular gift sites in the world. And because of their love for the Earth, they are changing the world. So visit Tree Givers at X Squared Radio and see if you can find a gift for your special person. And I know that you have recently thought about owning a telescope. I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They have come a long way, you know. Most of them, you just set them up, tell them what star cluster you want to go to, what planet you want to go to, and they have all the star charts built in. Most of the comets discovered in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun than with a coronoscope. Trust me. You will be captivated if you ever get a chance to watch the sun through one of these telescopes. Who knows? You might just save the planet. So plan a trip to the Discovery Store at X Squared Radio. We'll be back after a 43-second musical break. I'm Brooks Agnew, and this is X Squared Radio. And greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. My guest tonight in studio is Valerie Gale. She is a practitioner of Wicca and an intuitive counselor in Western Kentucky. She's been studying and practicing Wicca since she was 17, but probably has had the gift since she was just a child. I do apologize for a little bit of crackling in the background. Outside the studio right now, we are having a wonderful electrical storm. I wish you could see it. And it is creating some static on the lines. So a little bit of earth energy added to our interview tonight. We are talking about the symbols of Wicca, Christianity, and how it relates to it, how old Wicca goes back all the way to Paleolithic man. And I wanted to bring up something that I know that it's real because it's actually measurable and I've actually seen it in action. I can't explain it. I can't quantify it. But there's something when people put their wills together, let me put it another way. When they collectively apply their consciousness to something,
yeah.
It seems like mountains can move. It seems like great emotional, spiritual, and even physical support comes from it.
Yeah.
Some people call it prayer. Some people call it a blessing. Some people call it collective consciousness. How does this apply in Wicca? When you get together as a group and you apply your consciousness to something?
Basically the same it does within Christianity. Within Christianity, you have prayer meetings. The craft, Wicca, the craft, has been looked upon as evil for so long that it is not widely spoken about, which is very, very disappointing to me. Because regardless of what religion that you, what deity you believe in, it always, every bit that helps, helps. That's just the way I am. And basically, you have things that you do when you are, quote, a witch, that you do by yourself. There are covens who are like churches for Wicca. These are things that when they do rites and rituals within a coven, there are certain things that you do just as you do when you're at church. And it's basically the same thing. So when there is a vast need and you know others who are of the same religion as you.
And welcome back, Earth Explorers. Again, I apologize for the lightning. It's not anything that I can control. If I could, I would certainly just make it go away for our interview. Hopefully the clouds will pass and things will become silent and we'll be able to have a nice, peaceful interview. So if it's bothersome to you, I do apologize for that. My guest tonight is Valerie Gale. She is a practicing Wicca. Since the age of 17, probably had the gift her whole life. Her mother had it as well. And we're discussing the nuances of the Wicca religion. In our first hour, we discussed how that related to Christianity, and we were just beginning to talk about how people in Wicca gather their consciousness, whether they gather together as a group or across the world, to apply their life force to affect different things. And I understand that Wicca always does this for good.
Yes. Practicing black magic, if you will, is very frowned upon. Like I said in the beginning, the Wiccan religion, we do not practice or use our knowledge or our life force, as you will, to endanger anyone for monetary gain, for selfish reasons and all. And you had asked that about the collectiveness of channeling energy, and it's much the same as you would do in any Christian church. There are things, each religion is personal, and your relationship with your deities are personal. So whenever you work within a coven, as you will, it is a collective meeting of like people that need the same kind of result. the same as it would be. And my grandmother makes this wonderful joke about prayer, and it falls right into this. There was a drought when she was a child, and she was raised in Depression. And she said all of the men in the area went to the Methodist church, not the Baptist church, because this whole area is predominantly Methodist or Baptist. They did not go to the Baptist church because the previous week they had went to the Baptist church and prayed and nothing happened. So everybody within 100 miles, collect all of the men from old enough to talk to being carried in, met at the Methodist church. And they met before sunrise. They fasted and prayed all day and all night. Well, they left at 11 o'clock the next morning, and they were drowning before they got home because they were praying for rain. And she tells the story, and, of course, she's this little old lady, and we all just roll laughing about it because she's funny. But it's the same process. These people went expecting to pray to their deity and expecting, because they had changed their location to one that had more positive energy because it had a bigger, as you will, congregation. So everybody went with the mentality of we are going to the strongest religious place. We are going to, therefore, be heard more strongly. And you were talking about the churches in Europe being built in certain places. It's much the same with the coven. It is theoretically the same.
So these are the areas that they would call groves,
yes.
Places with trees. I noticed even in the Bible, it talks about religious leaders going out into the wilderness and cutting the groves down so that the Wicca could not meet, because evidently they had to have a grove of trees in order to feel grounded.
That for many, many centuries was believed. Based on our evolution, we can do much the same thing within the home. Now, you have to remember, for many years, witchcraft, Wicca, was not spoken about because to be considered Wicca was immediate death. Prophets, soothsayers, magicians that had natural ability for many centuries were killed for those abilities. So it became an underground religion. And I really feel within myself that is why it became looked upon as evil, because practitioners of the old way could not be out in the open. They had to profess to be Christians, otherwise they were persecuted, which was unfair. So the religion adapted ways to meet and do things that were for the common good of everyone in their area it had to evolve and adapt just much the same as every other religion. And like me, I would absolutely love to grow a garden. I would love to grow my own herbs and spices and you know, my trees and the flowers and the whole nature bit. But unfortunately, the goddess, Mother Earth, God, whoever is ruling me right now, in this part in my life, says you cannot grow anything green. If you put something in the ground, it will turn black and rot. So, fortunately, I do have two children that can do it, so I'm still okay. But, and I make this joke in my neighborhood so much, you bring me your half-dead kids and your half-dead animals, and I will fix them. But if you bring me a plant, put it in the garbage on the way in, because it will not live. And that's the same it's with any religion, any walk of life. You have certain things that you are more able to do than someone else. And within a coven, the structure is the same. Personally, this is talk from what I've read, because I have never been involved in a coven. This has been a very personal walk for me. Very, very private, very personal. My immediate family support me. My extended family, most do not. Because you are sitting in what is known as the Bible Belt in the United States.
Well, even though we are sitting in the Bible Belt, and I find most people to be fairly closed-minded. They're not open to the things that they see. I feel a little bit like Galileo felt.
Yes.
He said, look, I've ground these lenses, okay? And when I put them a certain focal length apart, they're in focus. And if you look through them, you can see the moons revolving around Jupiter. Would you like to see? No, I would not like to see, because everybody knows there are no moons around Jupiter. And this is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You have got in Wicca something that predates organized Christian religion, or actually organized any religion. It also contains common roots, crosses, triangles, spheres, ankhs, whatever you want to call these different symbols. All of these things originated long, long before these churches ever got their hands on them.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned, and I want to talk about for the rest of this hour, if we could, because when ordinary people, even we scientists, when we hear the word Wicca, or we hear the word Wicca witch, or we hear the word witchcraft, we automatically have this image of magic. Now, we're familiar with magic because sometimes scientific equipment, although well-built and well-programmed, doesn't work. We sprinkle pixie dust on these things, and they automatically correct themselves. Sometimes we do with a hammer. Sometimes we do a power on and power up. And sometimes we haven't done anything to the equipment. It just suddenly starts working. This we call magic. Cars do it all the time. You turn the key once, it doesn't start. You turn the key again, it starts. That's magic too. But in reality, magic has a root that
yes.
goes way back. Now, we're not talking about illusions. We're not talking about sleight of hand or, smoke and mirrors. We're talking about real magic. Now, I'm going to read you this definition of magic, and you tell me how closely this fits. It is the projection of natural energies, such as personal power, to being about needed change. Energy exists in all things, us, plants, stones, colors, sounds, movements, and words. Magic is the process of raising this energy, giving it purpose, and releasing it. Magic is a natural, not supernatural practice, but it is little understood. Magic is neither black nor white. It simply is. What the magician decides to do with the magic is another matter.
I would say that that is almost 99% correct. To create magic, first of all, you have to believe that you can channel your energy to affect change. That is the same as my personal favorite, because I have never had the model figure. Of course, if I was in Paleolithic times, I would be the perfect woman because I'm big. You know, big, healthy woman for bearing children. Of course, unfortunately, I live in the United States in 2006, and I need to look like a supermodel. So my personal favorite is you have to be able to use the magic to affect change. That's like saying on January 1st, I am going to lose 100 pounds this year. You say it on January 1st because that is your New Year's resolution, and you want to do something. But are you serious? Well, if you're serious, you go about changing things, and you channel your energy into changing that about you which you don't like. That, in effect, is magic, because you take something that is a negative within you, and you channel all of this good, positive energy into it, and you affect change. Losing weight is purely natural, done by natural means, things that you should be doing every day. So in effect, and I explain this to people, and they look at me like, you've lost your mind. Losing weight is in fact a magical process. That would be like saying, okay, you have certain things that you do for love and money and prosperity, and there's rites and there's rituals and there's days of celebration for all of these things. You affect change with magic during certain times of the day, certain times of the month, certain times of the moon, and in certain phases of your life. Like when I was a child, with my physical knowing, it would not have been appropriate for me to start trying to use magic to effectively bring about the love of my life, or as you will, the father of my children. Because at that time, I was not in that place in my life. The things that I would be channeling in to make magic would be, how much candy can I get my mother to buy me? You know, and people laugh when I say these things because you hear children. Well, they'll say their prayers at night. You know, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless grandma, help her to get here safely so she can bring me my birthday present. Okay, that is a childish wish, okay? Children that are raised Wicca, when they want something to change or to come about, they are taught a certain way to channel their energies to affect that change.
You know, one of the greatest magicians to ever live was Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was a renowned great magician. Of course, he had access to the ancient scrolls.
Yes.
He probably had access to the flying scrolls, which were left here by off-worlders, created by off-worlders to teach people how to recover from cataclysms. And a lot of this knowledge, although true, if in the wrong hands, can be quite dangerous.
Yes.
One of the things that I read in this definition is what the magician decides to do with the magic.
Yes.
Is another thing.
Yes.
One of the things that, of course, we see popular television shows and movies and things like that with witchcraft in them, and some of them are humorous,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are the stuff of horror movies.
Yes.
So everyone has their own prejudices about magic.
Yes.
Just the other day, I was watching David Blaine, the street magician, and the stuff this guy was doing was not illusion.
Yes.
It was magic.
Yes.
He was doing things with cards and levitating. Trust me, on the sidewalk, this is real magic.
Yes, and when you see people do that, your mind, because of the way the human is conditioned in today's society, you are automatically skeptical. There has to be something there helping this person.
Well, what is it? What, I mean, obviously, I don't think David Blaine is a particular, you know, a spiritual leader or a pure human being that he can say, all right, I'm going to make this card disappear out of this deck, and it's going to appear in your rear pocket of your jeans, which your shirt is down over and you're 6 feet away from me, and we're going to do it live on camera and in front of 8 or 9 live witnesses.
Okay, now you talked about the off-worlders, as you will. I have always thought that it would be egotistical of me to assume, regardless of which deity I believe, that I am the best that the universe has to offer as far as being a human. I have always felt that way. What you're talking about to me is basically what I was trying to get out, is the fact that when you try to affect magical change, you have to learn how to channel that Akasha, that life force, that all-giving power into doing what in your mind you needed to do for you. So basically, what he has done has went a little bit further, more evolved than where you are. Because you're like, well, this person's not a religious leader. Well, no, but this person has discovered how to take that life force and use it to his advantage. Now, that can be good and that can be bad. Because if you can reach the point to where you can create that kind of illusional magic, as we call it, then you can become very powerful if you start paying attention to what you're actually doing. You know, there are many, many studies on paranormal activity, people being able to move objects with their minds, to bend things with their minds, to get in someone's head and speak to them by just thinking about it.
Well, I have no doubt that that can be done. but the person that it's being done to, one of two conditions have to exist.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, the person that into which thoughts are being implanted has to, A, either be searching for a thought. They've lost their way, and you can see their eyes rolling in their head. They're looking to the left, looking to the right, searching for something to say. Someone that's giving an extemporaneous speech, for in other words, and they've lost their thought. You can project a thought to them, like, it's time to close, or an idea that they need to speak about, and they'll begin speaking about it. The other condition is a weak or misdirected will. But when there is someone that has a strong willpower, or knows what they want to say, and has confidence in themselves, you cannot implant thoughts in these people.
Now, see, that's where we differ. I find that the more antagonistic that a person is to work what I'm doing, the quicker I can show them what I am about. I really do. You know, you cross people every day who do not believe in anything, who have no values, who have no morals, who really do not want to create anything in society. These are the people that you think would be more receptive to the ideals and practices of, quote, magic. You will find out that the non-believer is usually the quickest one that you can put an idea in, because they are so incredulous when it happens. Mm. It just totally, they do a total about face. And I have found throughout my walk that people who believe as I do, you just automatically know whenever you are around them. You just automatically know. I have also encountered people who are very, very, very evil. I have encountered people who have thrown hexes at me, who have done voodoo curses at me, who have cursed me through Christianity and told me that, you know, I will burn in hell. You know, the whole works. And I have found that the most strong ally you will ever have is that person who is so totally closed off and so totally closed-minded that they are sure they are right whenever their eyes are open to the fact that what I am doing is non-threatening, non-violent, and is never going to affect their order and where they go in their afterlife. They become very strong allies, even if they never believe the same as I believe. As far as telepathy, I can't tell you anything about that because I can't do it. I wish I could. Believe me, I wish I could, especially with teenagers in the house. I really wish I could. Premonitions I have, dreams I have, touching someone and knowledge I have. People are afraid of me because I can channel this and affect change, and it does scare people. But in some areas of the world, thankfully, just like you said in the beginning, the use of magic, which is always pure light and good, it's always pure and good when it comes from my heart, the use of it to affect change within our world is becoming more renowned, and people are fortunately all over the world opening up to some of the old ways.
Well, the old ways are not necessarily wrong, and it is clear, either through the architecture of ancient chapels that are built on ley lines, or the placement of temples or pyramids or different edifices like Stonehenge that are placed on specific points of energy on the earth. It is clear that the religious or magical or shamanistic leaders of those days had a way of sensing these energies. Now, I know because that's the core of my thesis in physics is on the spectroscopy of the Earth and the effects of space on the Earth. And it takes rather sophisticated equipment. This is how I earned my living. This is how I discovered the things that I did, is building ever more sensitive pieces of equipment, be they you know, radiological instruments such as a sodium iodide crystal connected to a an amplifier like a photomultiplier tube or a digital array that amplifies that signal so that I can tell exactly what species is decaying, if it's uranium or if it's thorium or sodium or radon. These are the instruments that I used, and certainly I could interpret and gather data. But these ancients, they had no such instruments. They had to have some kind of way of sensing this, or they had to be able to communicate or receive information from a subtler source, maybe an in-between dimension. And if they could do this for their community, then they were elevated some to priest, or I know shaman is a term, and I'll read you this definition I have. It says, a man or woman who has obtained knowledge of the subtler dimensions of the earth, usually through periods of alternate states of consciousness. Various types of rituals allow the shaman to pierce the veil of the physical world and to experience the realm of energies. This knowledge lends the shaman the power to change his or her world through magic.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that I used magic, but I was able to detect energies from these, if you want to call them, more subtle dimensions of the earth, draw some conclusions from that, do some analysis on that, and I was able to find oil and gas for the oil and gas industry. That's how I paid for the equipment and paid for my education, and I detested the industry because the people that I was working with, it really didn't matter what state I was working in, they're all the same. They were all gold hungry. They were just wanted the oil, and they consumed everybody and everything in that industry to get it.
Yes.
So that's why I got out of it. But I guess in ancient days, if I could whip out my equipment, I would have been a shaman because I could detect these energies. But somehow these magicians or these shamans or these religious leaders were able to pierce this veil. And in Christianity, we talk about that all the time.
Yes.
About receiving messages from angels, from saints, from God, from the Lord, various spiritual entities that speak to people and say, move here, take this job, marry that woman, avoid this road, you know,
yes,
do this and don't do that, and you get prosperity in your life.
Yes. Now, we experience that every day. How many times have you went in to do something and say, this just doesn't feel right? Every human being has that ability. They don't use it, but they have it. And you're talking about in earlier times, in ancient times, how people knew these things. Okay? How did a mother know to put a baby to her breast and nurse it when the first baby was born? It is an instinctual, as you will, perception. These things are given to us by the world around us. We have become so well educated and so knowledgeable about everything that we don't listen to what the earth and the elements and the Akasha, the life force, tells us any longer. That's why we are sick, we are overweight, we are psychotic. I'm trying to think. Keanu Reeves made a movie, Constantine. And if you look at what is going on in this movie, there was one wonderful scene where a representation of evil and a representation of good, both being, quote, angels, one from the dark, one from the good, are there in the liquor store where the guy is actually drowning in liquor and actually thinks he's not getting anything. Okay, if you look around you on this earth, and you really get into touch through meditation, through prayer, through whichever you believe, with who you really are inside, and you listen to what is being spoken around you, you will see, as you see for us, you will see whether it is good or evil. It's these people had knowledge that was given to them either from the Outlanders, as you call them, or the deities, that created the earth and everything on it, they were given a direct line to them. We all were. We're all given a direct line from the moment of conception. We're given a direct line to this life force. But we shut it out because we are conditioned not to see it. How much of our human brain do we use?
Oh, not much. And even the human genome has been, you know, deeply studied the last 20 years. A lot of money, a lot of great abstracts have been done on the human genome. And what we have discovered is that about 90% of the genetic material in the human gene is not expressed on this planet, could not have developed on this planet. There are no environmental effects or evolutionary advantage to having these traits.
That's true.
They are placed into the genetic code from outside this world.
Now, see, in saying that, think about the possibility that you yourself would have right now to create magic if you used another 15% of your brain.
I'm sure I would be burned at the stake.
We all would, because we are giving this immense, powerful brain to do things with, and only part of the human race tries to expand that. The rest of us are repressed into thinking this is all there is. And unless that mind is opened up and allowed to be used, that's where the magic stops, because we're programmed not to believe in the paranormal, not to believe that in the life force of the Akasha. We're programmed to believe in black and white. And it's not that way. If we used, as humans, 15% more of our brain, you know, in my mind, I can see me communicating with someone without having to use a microphone, just by thinking about it. We would be able to move our bodies from place to place with 15% more of our brain. Think about it. And how much more of it is left that is not tapped?
One of the things that you mentioned, and you used Constantine as an example, is that in this dimension where we exist,
yes,
three dimensions and time, we are sort of trained that if you can't see it or touch it or hold it in your hands, it doesn't exist.
That's right.
In physics, one of the challenges that we had, and by the way, this was only done in the mid-90s, there was a theory that gravity can only be, the acceleration of gravity can only be measured down to a certain point. Well, some grad student decided, all right, well, let's find out where the point is. Let's find out, because we know that the forces of gravity diminish with the square of the distance.
Yes.
So we kept cutting the distance down and down and down and down to see how close we could get. The closest we got was 0.1 millimeter. Actually, it's about 1 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe extrapolate the data and get down to 0.1 millimeter. But what this means in the data, what you can withdraw from this, is that there could be entire dimensions that are 0.1 millimeter wide or 1 millimeter wide, we can't detect it.
That's right. And, you know, it's like I just said, we were given by whatever deity you choose to believe created this earth and created human beings. We were given this wonderful tool, to express and expand. And instead, as we evolve, it's being shut down.
It's being compressed, isn't it?
Being compressed. Instead of our brains being expanded and us finding out what we can do within our own mental abilities, it's being shut off, you know, by witch hunts and by lack of respect for the paranormal. You know, there was an older lady that lived, she was an elderly woman that lived near, my grandmother raised me, and she lived near our farm. And she could take you if you were bleeding, if you were cut and bleeding. And she could take you and hold your hand and close her eyes and say a few words, And regardless of what it was, an artery cut or whatever, you would stop bleeding. I saw this many, many, many times.
My wife had, for many years as a child, terrible warts on her hand.
Yes.
And, oh, they froze them, they cut them, they tried all kinds of wart remedies. They put Band-Aids, put aspirins on, nothing. And these were so bad they were getting under the fingernail of her hand.
Yes.
It affected her writing.
Yes.
And they took her, her parents took her to...
a healer.
Well, this, he was a seventh son of a seventh son, and the locals called him the Greasy Man.
Yes, a healer.
They took her to him, and he took a little bit of his saliva, and he rubbed it on the warts and held her hand, and he said, the next time you look down at these warts, they'll be gone. Well, she didn't pay any attention to it. She was a little girl, playing around for a few days, maybe a week, who knows, could have been a month. And she said, hey, I'm going to see if I... And she looked at her hand, and the warts were gone.
Yes.
And she's never had them since.
Growing up in rural western Kentucky, growing up in any of the rural southern states, you will find people, even today, who are renowned as healers. They're not spoken about in public, but you start talking to the people who live there, and they will tell you, this is who you need to go to if you wish to get pregnant and you cannot. This is who you need to go to if you have warts. These people are more prospective, and they were given a gift, and they have channeled that gift and used that gift, and they've expanded their minds to where they know they can do this. That is just like me. I know when I take my tarot cards in my hand, I know that I am going to counsel someone who needs that counsel. I have many people say, wait a second, you're telling me about me, not what's coming. With those people, I have to say, with my guest, when I give you a first reading, I have to tell you about you and what you've been through and how you are right at this moment before I can tell you what's going to come. And why my guest is that way, I don't know, and honestly, I've never asked, because it's always been that way. From the time I first held the tarot cards in my hand on, it has always been that way. If I do not already personally know you, and I have many, many people from many, many different walks of life and from many thousands of miles away from me come to me and say, oh, you read tarot cards? Would you read mine? And they think, you know, yeah, ha-ha, this is going to be fun. And I start talking to them and telling them about the things that happened when they were a child and the things that are happening now and why they are the way they are. And they will be like, how did you know all of this? I can't tell you how I know. It's just, it's magic. It's always been there.
So the gift of healing, the gift to be able to take warts away, to be able to stop bleeding, to be able to help people become fertile, these are really important gifts in a primitive society when there are no doctors to go to. And, of course, there are people that have skills with herbs. They know which herbs to use to create certain effects in people, to heal, to enhance.
Yes.
I know I was watching, believe it or not, the Discovery Channel, and they were in an Indian tribe in the Amazon, and there was a berry that grew.
Yes.
And the interviewer was saying, well, the herbalist, when a woman wants to stop having children, when she's had two or three or however big a family they want to have, and she wants to stop having children, he will send her to this bush, and she'll eat two berries, and she will never bear a child again.
Yes.
We don't have a drug like that today. That only exists on that bush in the Amazon.
Yes.
In fact, it could be said that most of the modern medications that we have originated with some natural organic compound that was discovered in the rainforest.
Yes, and now they are all synthetically made, basically. That's like for thyroid disease. I love it. Synthetic thyroid hormone. Okay, that is man-created. It is not natural. What I find to be the biggest hindrance of people believing that they can affect change with magic, that they can heal themselves, that they can have a productive life and be of Wiccan religion, is the fact that we have been so educated that we cannot think abstractly.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, there's one item that we have not talked about. We've got about 11 minutes. It has to do with magic. You cannot help but think about this if you're a 10-year-old and you've seen any of the Harry Potter movies.
Which are absolutely wonderful. They're wonderful for children to see.
Well, I always thought it was great. Anything that could be written that wasn't vulgar or profane, that would get a child reading,
yes,
was good.
Yes.
I know R.L. Stine came out with the Goosebumps, and these were just really...
we have those in my house.
it was a factory of writers that wrote under the name R.L. Stine. They cranked out a book about every 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe earlier, quicker than that. And they were really simple stories, real simple plot lines, real short sentences, small words, but it got kids reading, and
yes,
that was good. It got images flowing in their mind, and Harry Potter's the same way. But the point I was getting to is the ritual tool of the wand. Now, of course, in the first movie, when Harry Potter went to the special shop in the alley and was being fitted with his wand, it absolutely had to fit him and his magic. Well, that's the way that it was written about by Rowan, but in real life, in real Wicca, I actually have never seen anyone with an actual wand. Do they still use wands today?
Yes.
What are the wands for? How are they significant?
You have in Wicca, if you are a religious practitioner of Wicca, you have a set of tools that you use. And yes, a wand is one of those. It is a very personal item. The tools of the trade, although there is much, much in print about how you get the tools of the trade and the things that you use, it is something that is not openly discussed because it is a private thing.
I just want to know the process. You know,
does
the person go out and dig up his own wand? Is there really an alley that they go to a special
shop? No, there's
shop?
Not really an alley. Which, you know, the Harry Potter series has done a whole lot to help the witchcraft, so to speak, be more accepted because it is so light and it is so fun. There is the darkness there, and there's the wand getting and you know, their rituals and the classes that they have to take. And basically, to become Wiccan, you have to go through a process of learning. Well, I personally have made and am making all of my tools. The only thing that I will personally not make will be you have to have a chalice or a goblet. And you have to have a couple of other things. Bowls and things for when you do rituals. And there's a very few things that you don't make yourself. Of course, it's totally appropriate. There are several shops, there are millions of shops now, which is totally wonderful for you to go and for you to, you can go online, you can order your tools for your rituals, your wand, your knife, you know, the things that you use. But these are very personal things and you have to make the choice whether you want to buy something and bless it, or you want to make something and bless it, or, you know, there are certain things that are handed down from members of the family, if the whole family practices. There are tools that are given as gifts. These are things to accentuate the flow of the magic.
So the wand itself, of course, it could be made from a variety of different kinds of woods. I've seen them that are twisted, that have little crystals in the center of the roots and all kinds of neat things. But what I'm really curious about is the process of fitting a wand to a person. And you don't have to tell me any specifics, but what would a wand be used for?
It is used in rituals, like I said, to extenuate the movement of the magic, the power, the electricity, the life force, the element. And you were asking about the fitting. It's like I said, it's personal. You know, I have one friend who is really, really non-materialistic. And this one friend never, ever has anything expensive. Never. She's absolutely wonderful. She has more money than God. As we, you know, you hear people say that. She has more money than God. And, you know, we roll about this because she uses a pencil for a wand. And she cracks me up.
Is it a number two pencil?
It's whatever pencil is laying. It is whatever pencil is laying closest to whatever altar she's using. It's never the same one. And I laugh all the time because she's this wonderful person. And, you know, there's flowers and herbs and stuff drying all over her house. And like my house, there's animals and kids running in and out. And even though the house is clean, it's always in disarray. And she never knows. She's really, she reminds me of the lady that teaches divination on Harry Potter. She, you know, she has the hair and the big thick glasses and nothing, everything is just totally chaotic. And, she just amazes me because she'll be right in the middle of something and she'll go, I don't have a wand. And she will grab whatever pencil is there and bless it and just go right back to work. And it really, to me, I mean, it's not disrespectful when I laugh at her. It is refreshing to see that she is so comfortable with what she is doing. That it doesn't have to be precise and perfectly made. And, you know, I laugh all the time because, you know, God has a sense of humor. He has to have a sense of humor. He created, you know, according to the world, he created man and woman. So when you're doing magic, being solemn and serious, just like when you're in church, is a wonderful thing. But, you know, everything does not always have to be solid, solemn, and serious, and quote depression.
Well, I like humorous magic.
Oh yes.
What I was going to tell you is when I was in the field between 1983 and probably the latter part of 1989, gathering data and doing my measurements, I would always run across these guys in the oil field, and they were dowsers.
Yes.
They had some of them had forked sticks. Some of them used welding rods and Coke bottles, but I kind of likened that to magic wands. They didn't have any instrumentation, but they could walk out on this farmland, and they could walk around and they could drop their little flags or the little markers where there were magnetic fissures or breaks in the ground where oil might gather.
Oh yes.
And I one particular instance, I was in Eugene, Oregon, and we were on a fescue farm, which was a huge flat farm where they grow this grass. The topsoil up there is amazingly thick, and it's perfect for growing grass because it's always overcast and rainy. Anyway, we had set up my equipment in a camper near the road because I didn't want to get buried in the fescue farm. And my mobile transmitter was on a four-wheeler, which is made for that kind of terrain. I was communicating with the foiler through a two-way radio, and he had the broadcast radio, which beams the spectrographic beam that I use into the ground, and then we receive the bounce back with another antenna. So I'm looking at the computer screen, looking at the decibels that I'm getting back from his broadcast, and I'm guiding him, turn left, turn right, go here, go there. I can't see him, but I'm talking to him on the radio. And he ran over something that spiked really big in this certain bandwidth that I was looking for, and I said, stop. Back up. Now pull forward. Now left, right. All right, tune that. That's good. Drop your flag. And then we jumped in the Jeep, and we went out there to see what he had. The guy who was the landowner, his dowser, and me are in the Jeep. So we're driving out. It's foggy. And we drive about a half a mile.
Yes.
And then we see the four-wheeler because we can see the orange flag on top of it. So we pull up to him, and there's my orange flag on the ground, and right next to it is a purple flag.
From the dowser.
I said, where did the purple flag come from? And the dowser said, well, that's my flag. I said, how did you do that? How did you sense that? And he said, well, you know, I'm sensitive to that. I walk around with my stick, and I can sense when these breaks in the ground happen. But I can tell you this is something that is in the minus 60 decibel range, which is more silent than any room you could stand in. It's virtual silence. And I could only pick it up with my sensitive equipment. He picked it up with a stick.
Yes, because his body can feel the... Your body actually, when you're perceptive to this stuff, your body actually feels these things. It's very calm, and it's very, a lot of people, you see on TV, they fall down and they hit the ground and they spasm and all of this, and then I know what's going on. Well, actually there are people that have that kind of painful reaction because they are so sensitive to it. And then there's people like me who wake up, have a cup of coffee, look across at their husband and say, so you filed divorce papers yesterday? And he's going, how did you know this?
Yeah, he's taken completely by surprise.
And I laugh about that because, that was an actual instance. And I laugh about it because we are still the best of friends. But I knew there was no, and everybody's going, yeah, right, you were married to. There was no signs. But you're so perceptive, you're supposed to say it's like the tarot cards, the wand, the pentacle, which that is another thing. You were talking about the wand. Okay. Wicca uses a pentacle, not a pentagram.
Right.
A pentagram is a sign of the devil. A pentacle is simply a star in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
It is another very powerful extension of magic.
Well, it's a very deep sign of the life force.
Yes.
You can see them everywhere.
Yes. Now, see, along with the wand, I use a pentacle. And I use a pentacle to scry with. I don't use a crystal. Now, you see on Charmed, you see them scrying for things with the map, and they have the crystal, and it hits, the paper in a certain place. I don't do it that way. I do it completely different. And I know you've seen on television... about the string with the wedding ring on it and the way they held it over the woman's stomach when she's pregnant to tell what sex the baby is.
I know my brother-in-law uses a nail on a string over a bird to tell whether the bird is male or female.
Yes, yes.
If it goes in a straight line up and down the spine, it's male. If it goes in a circle, it's female. He showed it to me.
And that is an ancient practice. And it actually, if you believe it, it works. I am a very firm believer in if you believe using this is going to help your magic, use it. Now, there are many, many millions of people who are Wiccan who do not believe that. There are many millions of people who are Wiccan who are as devout as a Catholic pope whenever they're doing something. They have to use appropriate tools. Then there's people like me who fly by the seat of their pants.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about the process of scrying. This, you were just mentioning it. And really, this is where the rubber meets the road for magic, and I want to discuss that in detail. But first, we're going to have a couple commercials and then a short musical break, and we'll be back. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio. Did you know that 11 of the 12 sets of footprints on the moon were made by Eagle Scouts? It's true. Soon, men and women will be doing the real moonwalk. But just so we don't forget, the first footprint on the moon has been replicated in a limited edition plaque that would make the perfect gift for a court of honor. Maybe you need something special for your office or your library at home. This high-quality plaque can add that something special that lets people know how excited you are that we are returning to the moon. Visit Countdown Creations at X Squared Radio today and order your limited edition First Step on the Moon plaque. You own an inkjet printer, right? I used to buy my inkjet cartridges at a national chain store that will remain unnamed for about $35 per cartridge. The color and black cartridges together ran around $80. Well, no more. I discovered a great place to buy printer supplies at 123 Inkjets. They not only provide excellent quality and fast shipping. Every time I buy, I get a chance to win a free printer. Stop paying those high prices. Visit 123 Inkjets at X Squared Radio today and start saving money. If you like wildlife art like I do, and you'd love to add some of the most beautiful replicas to your home or office, you should visit Wildlife Gifts at X Squared Radio. They have everything from pandas to fish to eagles to horses in all sizes and price ranges. No matter what animal you love the most, they have the art for you. So visit Wildlife Gifts at X Squared Radio for that special someone today. There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future Earth events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the six-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. You know, we have revealed to you, in the arc of millions of years, the ancient predictions that natural disasters are going to increase in power and frequency in these times. We might not always have the National Weather Service or the Emergency Broadcasting Service, so you might want to get your hands on some of the best weather reporting instruments around. Visit Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio and pick up something that might be useful. They also have the neatest gifts for your favorite people who like things for the outdoors or for their meditation garden. Check out Wind and Weather at X Squared Radio. And we'll be back after a 48-second musical interlude. And welcome back, Earth Explorers. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. In here, the results are always positive. My guest tonight is Valerie Gale. She is a practicing Wicca. She's been practicing since she was 17, but probably longer than that, as she's had the gift all of her life. We're discussing some of the details, without going into a lot of detail, if you know what I mean, about Wicca. And the last hour we talked about magic, and we touched on the subject of scrying. This is S-C-R-Y-I-N-G. According to my handy-dandy lexicon here, it says, a method of divination to gaze at or into an object, such as a quartz crystal or a sphere, a pool of water, reflections, a candle flame, to still the conscious mind in order to contact the psychic mind. Scrying allows the scryer to become aware of events prior to their actual occurrence, as well as to perceive past or present events through other than the five senses. So we're going to talk to our guest Valerie a little bit about scrying. I know it's as easy as reading the morning paper for you, but for... For those of us that are scientists, we have a real difficult time saying that you can tell events that before they happen. However, that being said, we are very strong supporters of time travel and thereby being sensitive to things that are going to happen in the future. So tell us a little bit about scrying, this method of divination. You don't have to tell us exactly what you do, but but it would be good to know if that there is a way to see events before they happen.
I always laugh. My daughters love Charmed. They have watched every episode since it first came on, you know, of course. You know, having me as a mother, you know, that would be normal for them. And you see them scrying, especially Piper. You see her scrying, you know, with the crystal on the leather cord or the ribbon, and she's got the map or whatever, because she's looking for someone. And it gives a pretty accurate picture of what you do. And we were talking about the wedding ring. You know, in earlier times, within the past 100 years, there was always some woman within your community that could take your wedding ring off of your finger and put it on a ribbon or a string when you were pregnant and hold it over your stomach, and depending on which way it went, could tell you whether you were having a girl or a boy. She could also put her hands on your stomach and tell you whether you were having twins or not. There was always one person, and that was a traditional thing that was basically like everything else that was passed from one parent, one daughter to another. You know, mother to daughter. That was a gift, okay? Scrying is a lot like that. You're looking for an answer. You can consider using a Ouija board as scrying, because it's, you know, and Ouija boards are most commonly thought of as an evil toy that you don't want your children to play with. Well, you know, my friend Chad, who was supposed to be here tonight, who didn't make it, we have a place around here called Hell's Half Acre. Well, scrying and Ouija boards put you in touch with the psyche. So it puts you in touch with the paranormal. So therefore, you're dealing with deities, entities, however you want to put it, auras, akasha, that are no longer here.
Never were here.
That's right. That's a good point. Or we're never here, and they are guiding the quote scrying crystal. I use a pentacle because I just do. It just feels better in my hands than the
just works cord. Best for you.
Yes.
You know, I want to add a little bit of science to this, because we know that these other dimensions exist.
Yes.
Not because we can reach in and see them or we can detect them in any way, but we can detect their effects. It's sort of like a fish in water. It can't really live in or detect the air universe, but it can see the ripple on the surface when it rains in the air universe.
Yes.
And that's what we kind of see in physics. We're detecting all kinds of things with radio telescopes and with lab instruments that don't originate here.
Yes.
They originate somewhere else.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about the background noise of the universe. I'm talking about real information with pattern and starting and stopping points. Do we know how to read it? No way. We're just now collecting the data. But you're talking about using tools, wands, crystals, balls, pentacles, rings on the ends of strings. And you're talking about using these tools to put yourself in touch with these other dimensions. Now,
yes.
One of the things we know scientifically about these dimensions is that time doesn't have the same meaning.
That's correct.
The information is sort of detached from time, future, past, which means that if you can put yourself in touch with it, you can see future events.
Yes.
Now, what I want to know, and I think our listeners want to know, from a magical point of view, from this Wicca point of view, how is that done, and how can you rely on that information? How do you know when it's coming from a good source and when it's not coming from a good source?
It's separation of reality and knowing. I have spoken many times since we started this interview about knowledge just being there. And it is the same when you scry or use a Ouija board or meditate. You spoke earlier in one of the commercials about a meditation garden. Okay? Everyone, every human on this earth needs a meditation life. That is one thing that we do not do for ourselves that keeps us from being in touch with the psychic world, with, quote, those who have been here before us, those who have not been here yet. All of these entities that have been on the earth before us and the ones that are coming after us, they are there in some realm in your life force that you can touch. And I seriously believe that they have a hand in guiding us. So when you're scrying or using a Ouija board or you're meditating and this knowledge comes up to you, it comes to you from them. It is a gift that is sent to you because you are open to it at that point. You know, at one point in my life, we were in Texas. My children's father was in the Army. And we had a hypnotist come to the comedy club. There were people who were perceptive to being hypnotized that could be hypnotized, which is basically the thing that you're doing when you're meditating. You're self-hypnotizing yourself, and you're allowing your body and your senses to go on standby, and your mind takes over. And therefore, because your psychic, your mental abilities have taken over, you can learn this knowledge. At that time, I was shut off to that. I could not be hypnotized. I could not meditate. It took years of conditioning and control and believing that one day I would be able to do it, to be able to meditate. There are people that can look at you and you be talking to them and they be in a meditative state and be receiving these messages from whatever realm you want to call it yourself and still be listening to what's going on around them. Me, I cannot do it. I have to be totally alone with no interruptions, totally turn myself inward to meditate and to scry or to use a Ouija board. There are people who can pick it up and do the scrying and be having a conversation on the phone and writing a note to their child. I don't have that mental ability.
You and I, we both know a person who we won't name, who in the noise and chaos of loud music and everything else, can not only see that someone is hurting, but also be able to touch that person, perceive where it's hurting, and even have the ability to bear the pain away.
I was speaking about that person yesterday. I know him very well. And I was speaking about that person yesterday, and I actually told someone that they needed to see him because I could not do what needed to be done because, you know, there's very strict rules within Wicca, and one is if you are not well, some of the practices you cannot do because you are not well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost well, but as you know, I had to have a surgery done, and I'm not quite well. So there's certain things I can't do because I am physically not healthy at the moment. You know, the people that I read for every week as far as tarot, you know yourself, I'm over a month behind with these people, and I have told them, you will have to write down so when I do the readings, I can answer the questions that you've had for the month. Because until I am feeling strong, I can't read the tarot for you because that would be religiously incorrect for me. It would be like me baptizing someone to make them a Christian and me not a religious leader in the Christian church. Although God theoretically would accept it, the public eye wouldn't. And that is one thing that is very important. When you go to be in any religion and you scry and you read cards and you counsel people, you have to follow the traditions and the rules. Otherwise, your magic, your power is ineffective.
So there is a protocol.
Yes.
There is a pattern. There's a certain words and certain movements and certain... we talked about colors and we talked about candles and certain things have to be in order for it to work. So it's not so much... Well, it is partially the talent of the individual person.
Yes.
as you were saying earlier, the tools that that person uses are sort of tuned to him, whether you like to use a crystal or a ring or a wand or a stone or
and
or
the
whatever.
Colors, the colors, you have people that are different colors. And I'm not talking about their skin. I'm talking about them. Mm-hmm. Me, it's very obvious. You know, if you see me, you know I am an earth person.
Sure.
I am greens and browns and summer. And it's not necessarily all my genetic makeup. It's the way I present myself with the way I speak and move and flow. Okay? We have a friend, a mutual friend, who we spend time with that is air. She's effervescent. She's always happy. She's always dancing about. She's always hugging on people. And she's just this very energetic, light, happy person. Even when she's down, you still get that sense of playfulness. And, you know, she sings with me some, and we have the best time because, you know, I do all of the hard stuff, and she's the energy and the lightness and the happiness about it. And she has been through so much that, for me, seeing that she has the ability to do this gives me hope for mankind that they will touch what element is going to be predominant in their life. And it's not always by your zodiac sign. Mine, all of my zodiac, all of my Wicca, all of my elements are all ruled by the earth. Now, I have the sun ruling half of the year, so it makes me a bit different. But every person is an individual, and whenever you become Wiccan, you adapt to your personality. And everything is personal. Now, you can work within a coven and still be an individual because you practice this every day. It touches every part of your life. And you let go of preconceived ideas, and that's the hardest thing for people.
You know, I see it changing, though. In like in our youth, there is a culture called Gothic. They dress typically in black clothes. And
I have two.
And they avoid the sun to keep their skin pale, and they get into body piercings and tattoos. And although society tends to reject them. You know, when we see them walking in the mall, we cross the mall to the other side. I find them to be particularly enlightened people.
Very delightful.
And they have, for one reason or another, they have withdrawn from mainstream society.
Yes.
And they mark themselves with this clothing and with tattoos and with their color of hair and nails and all of that to let people know that they are aware of another plane. And,
yes.
And one of the things I was going to ask you about was the term familiar. My lexicon says it's an animal that has a spiritual bone with a witch, many times a family witch. Familiars can also be entities that dwell on the astral plane. What is the astral plane? How can you dwell there?
Well, I have never really quite figured that one out. A familiar, for me, I have more than one familiar. That is because I have more than one walk within my Wiccan religion. Okay, if you watch the movie The Crow with Brandon Lee, where he came back and the crow guided him, you see it a lot in Westerns and movies about Native Americans where they have an animal that is their spirit guide. And basically a familiar is that deity or that animal that is most communal with you, that one that you have the most characteristics like. And it appears to you in dreams. It speaks to you in dreams. If it's a deity, it can come from a different planet to speak to you. And I'm assuming that's where they get the astral plane. Of course, I don't have those. Mine are always animals. They are never people. They are never aliens. You know, of course, I am big on nature and animals. And you know, animals just running in and out of my house like the children do. And you were talking about the Gothic children. I have two of those. They do not avoid the sun, however. Mine do not. Neither one of my boys do the pale skin thing. They do the tattoos and the body piercings and the long hair and the black pants and all of that. And it has always amazed me since this subculture of Gothic people has become more aware of themselves, the knowledge that they have about the familiars. And most people think familiar, they think, oh, in Blade, the vampires, they all have familiars. These are people that want to be vampires that are not quite vampires. Well, all of that is a mythical culture. It's not real. Vampires, you know, to common knowledge, do not really exist. You know, it's just a playful thing that people do. And a familiar to someone in the Wiccan religion is a deity, an alien, an animal that helps guide their spirit when they're meditating, when they're doing spells, when they're practicing rituals. And for me, like I said, I have more than one. And I was communing very well with one before I came. We talked about this morning because we were laughing. I thought I was going to be late because one of mine is actually the dog. And, you know, I have this one particular dog that comes to me in dreams and sometimes when I'm daydreaming and will speak to me about things. And that is definitely one of my familiars, and I have never been ashamed or afraid of admitting that because, you know, most people would have killed over this morning when they woke up to their dog having puppies on their bed between their feet. Me, I get up, I get a sheet of plastic, I put it by my pillow, I put a towel on it, I put her in the one puppy, clean the other part of the bed, and monitor her till she's done because this is my familiar, this is my job, this is my one thing that above all I will always be able to take care of and gain companionship, and they will always be there to ease my pain. It's kind of like a comfort. It you know, there are times whenever you're irrational, when you're hurt or you're angry, and these familiars help put balance back into your life.
You know, it's so interesting. I know several couples that don't have children, and some by choice and some because of physiological problems, but they have pets.
Yes.
And their dogs or their cats are like their children. They communicate with them. They receive solace from them, strength and companionship. And it's, I know one lady, I forget how old her dog is now, maybe 11 or 12 years old. This is very old for a dog. But she has done orthopedic surgery on the dog in order to help its hip and things like that so that it can, you know, still get around. Because she just, the dog's been around her since she was 6 or 7 years old, so it's her familiar. And I see what you're talking about. If I had one, and I'm not saying that I do, but if I had one, it would be a bird.
Yes, I can see that.
I am so at home in the sky.
Yes.
When I'm in an ultralight at 300 or 400 feet off the ground or 200 feet off the ground, I'm flying at 30 miles an hour. I'm moving over trees and water and in between hills. I'm flying with the birds. I'm seeing the world as they see it. And when I dream, now let me put that another way. I have always dreamed that I could fly.
Yes.
I have always been in the air.
Now, see, I could have told you, even before, long before this interview, that you have two elements in your life. You are ruled by air. That is your, you know, you have the Akasha life force. Everybody has that. But the element that rules your life is always different. It's different for everybody. You may have all five elements in one family. If there's five people in the family, then you may have a family that's all water or all air. You are ruled by air and water. Air first, water second. You take comfort in being able to take hot showers, hot baths, swim in a heated pool. You are air and water. It changes the way you react to things. So your familiars will always have something to do with that. Birds, dolphins, whales. Now for me, I am, unfortunately, earth first and sun second and water third. So it's dogs, trees, and whales for me. That's where I get my familiars. And you will find you was talking about the people who have these animals. Well, I find that so humorous you brought that up because sitting on the bed with me while my little dog was having her puppy was Baby. Baby is a Pickapoo who will be 19 years old December 27th.
19, that's really 19. Old for dogs.
Yes, and she has never had any major health problems. She is starting to get cataracts, but I have been working on ways to take care of that naturally without having her have to have surgery. She has lost 4 teeth. She plays just like a young dog. And I was sitting there looking at her today, knowing I was coming to do this interview, and I was thinking how important it was for me to bring out to people about the familiar, because every person upon this earth has some kind of living thing that is their familiar. It can be a plant, it can be an animal, it can be an insect, but every living human being on this planet has some living thing that gives them solace and energy.
In our last half hour, I want our guests to realize that they can call in from anywhere. There are 2 numbers. Both of them are posted on the website at bbsradio.com. You can also call in at 877-876-5227 or 888-468-4313. If you have a familiar or if you have an experience with an animal that is exceptionally enlightening to you, that is to say, you exchange comfort one to another and you gain perspective of the world through this animal, some kind of connection, or a plant for that matter. If you have a tree or a mountain of trees, I know when I go to Utah, I like to ride up into the alpine forest,
yes,
because alpine trees are all one organism. All the roots are interconnected. When you walk among these aspens, they are, I meant to say aspens, not alpine. Aspens are one organism, and when you walk among these trees, there's just an immense peace that comes over you, not just because it's on the mountain, but because the trees themselves have some kind of, I don't want to call it hypnotic effect, but they just
energy.
They have an ability to exert their peaceful energy upon your chaotic energy and calm you.
Yes.
I don't know any other way to put it. One of our listeners has written in and wants to know, and I'm kind of interested in this myself, are fairies real?
In the Wiccan religion, you always respect the fair folk. You always. We even have a set ritual that we do that is for, I mean, you know, you have the Sabbath, and you have certain days that you do celebrate things, and I believe it's Midsummer. Yes, it says here. Now, I'm quoting from Dorothy Morrison's The Craft, A Witch's Book of Shadows, which is one of my favorites. Actually, it was the very first book on the Wiccan religion that one of my children ever bought me, and my oldest son brought me this book because he picked it up at a store here in town and was so amazed by it. He's like, oh, Mom has to have this. And it says in the Midsummer celebration that we do, it says, fortunately we have help at midsummer with the sun at his peak, so are the fairies in Fae. We are objects of their labor, sometimes disguised as lightning bugs. They flit to and fro, greeting our hearts and tending our spiritual gardens. They lighten our steps and fill us with warmth and joy and laughter. With the Fae working overtime to point us in the right directions, we see things differently, and suddenly it's not as difficult to do nice things for other people. In fact, it's downright easy. Then it says, we must pay homage to the fair folk on Midsummer's night. To do otherwise is just asking for trouble and undue chaos. Think I'm kidding? It's all chronicled in one of the most famous literary works of all time, A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare. And that was quoted directly from The Craft, A Book of Witch's Shadows, Dorothy Morrison. And I have very, very immense respect for Miss Morrison. I have learned so much from her. It is my opinion and my heart's deepest desire and wish that everyone believe in fairies.
One of the things that's very popular now, or at least has become popular, are depictions of fairies.
Yes, I have one on my back.
My wife has a decal of two fairies on her van. A couple of my kids have fairies with mushrooms and ferns and dragonflies and
yes.
All kinds of things. And of course, I have two favorite things to do when that I don't live in the city. Even though I was born in Los Angeles, I've traveled the world and I can live, I guess, where I want to live. I choose to live in more rural areas because there are two things I like to do. When it's snowing, really heavy, big, fat, fluffy flakes, I love to walk in the woods.
Oh, yes, me too.
And the other thing I like to do is in the summertime, when the sun either is low at dawn or in the evening, I like to sit in the woods on a rock somewhere where it's kind of mossy and the blades of light are kind of coming through the trees. Every minute that sun is moving, and it seems to move quicker in the morning and in the evening. Mornings are most favorite to me because you can walk out of the woods in daylight instead of dark. Every second, the light and colors and shapes change
yes.
in the woods.
Yes, and that is pure magic. And the fair folk have to be there. And they are a symbol of enchantment and faithfulness and hope and goodwill. And it would be my heart's desire for every human being on this earth to have the ability to believe like a child believes that they're watching this toadstool in their yard, and they are putting rocks around this toadstool, and they put their little fence around it, so none of the mowers or weed eaters or animals can destroy this toadstool, because they just know they're going to see that gnome or that fair folk there. Every human being on this earth steps would be lightened every day if we looked upon fair folk with that wonder and awe that child that is protecting that toadstool because they know that fairy is going to come to grant him that wish. It's the same joy and wonder that children have when they look up at the sky and say, one day I will go to heaven and I will be able to fly like a bird.
I'm Scottish.
So am I.
Just recently, American. I was born here, but my family has been on planet and off planet, shall we say. And before that, Ireland, and before that, maybe as far back as Jerusalem. So these kinds of legends permeate my family line and all kinds of stories. And, we're talking about Wicca, and we're talking about witchcraft, or the craft, and a lot of people, especially, I won't call them ignorant people, but I will call them
uneducated in the Wiccan way.
I think what they've done is they have been indoctrinated with the burning tradition.
Oh, yes.
That is to say, in ancient times, there was a competition between true magic and pseudo-magic. And although the church/government had adopted all of the pagan holidays, the colors, even the names of their saints match up with the names of deities that fit into the pagan religions or pagan traditions, even though they adopted those traditions, symbols, colors, patterns, dates on the calendar, views of the stars and of cycles of the earth, they did not want competition. And so they moved in with soldiers and literally rounded up all of those that were involved in magic or Wicca, and they burned them. And they did it in this country
yes.
as well.
They also burned...
They burned their writings.
Yes, but Joan. They burned Joan of Arc.
Oh, sure, Joan
they
of
burned,
Arc.
They burned her.
Because she couldn't possibly have won all those battles without some help from magic, and of course magic is evil, and so therefore we must kill it.
Yeah, and you have that today, here.
Yes, we do.
Because magic is associated with Satan.
All right, that's the question I wanted to ask. Is witchcraft a cult?
No.
So cults are, according to my lexicon here, are groups that trade a sense of salvation and belonging for the ability to think for oneself.
Okay, now, you can use that definition for cults. I believe there are no cults that are of a good name. Okay? My belief is that if you are part of a cult, you are not thinking for yourself. You are believing a lie. Now, some people say, well, you know, Christianity is a lie. No, it has been proven over that the man, Jesus, walked the earth. We know this to be fact. It is proven. There are places where things that were left before Jesus was supposed to have walked that the country's governments won't let us see because they would wipe out all religions except for Christianity and Wicca. Because we know for a scientific fact that people worshipped in the Wiccan way long before Christianity.
Well, sure they did.
Yes,
and to deny that there is a relationship between the human spirit and the cosmos is just ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
Even we physicists know that there is a relationship between the human spirit and, dare we say, the spirit of the earth.
That's right.
And the universe.
That's right. Now, you were talking about, is it part of the occult? No, it's not. It says very plainly when you start studying about the Wiccan religion, about Wicca. You know, I got into it accidentally. It was never something that I was going to do because I was raised with the hellfire and brimstone Baptist preacher in my face every Sunday morning, night, and Wednesday, and the week-long revivals. And, you know, I have very different beliefs than a lot of people who are Wiccan. And it is very personal. The one thing that was, that brought me to comfort between the two was the fact that it is all about goodness and nature and helping yourself and helping your neighbor and being there to, you know, do things in the community and help people. All of the other stuff is frowned upon. You will find many, and I am by no means, you know, I appreciate so much being here for this interview, but I am by no means knowledgeable about the Wiccan religion, even now. But the one thing that I am 100% sure of is I will not go to hell for being Wiccan.
That's a very powerful statement, and I appreciate that very much. One of the things, and it's the reason I left the Catholic Church when I was 14 years old, is because they prevented me from thinking for myself.
And that is wrong.
When I asked the questions, as I was reading the scripture, and you know me to be a very analytical and thorough reader, as I read the scriptures, I found differences between what was being stated in the book or the library called the Bible and what the church was doing.
Yes.
When I asked about these questions, not only was I discouraged from thinking that way or even asking that question, but I was told, oh, that's a mystery. That's not for you to know.
And see, that is untrue. Regardless of which deity you pray to, there is no deity other than, quote, Satan that does not want you to know everything there is to know about them.
That's exactly right. Withholding knowledge or withholding the ability to think for oneself or telling someone that you cannot heal the earth that way, you cannot communicate with the earth, you cannot communicate with one another, you cannot communicate with the past or the future or those that are about to be born or who have been born. That, I believe, is a cult.
Yes. Now, see, that when you start telling people that they cannot do this and they cannot do that and they cannot have this thought and they cannot have that thought, that is about power. Theoretically, Satan was God's right hand, and he decided that he wanted to be as powerful as God, so he challenged God. That made him theoretically bad, because everything that is taught is about how, in Christianity, it's all good. Well, it's the same in the Wiccan religion. When you start doing things that are inappropriate, that are going to hurt your health, that are going to hurt your life, that is going to hurt your fellow neighbors, that, you know, and you get on this power trip where, you know, you want to make X amount of money, and it doesn't matter who you hurt to have it. You know, these are things that I consider true evil. But for me, the truest form of being satanic or of worshiping the devil is to tell someone that their belief and what they are questioning is not for them to know.
So what you're telling me is the very people that were casting the hellfire and damnation and brimstone at you,
yes,
for exploring, and that's what this program is all about. We are Earth explorers.
Mm-hmm.
Those very people are the ones that fit into the class or definition of cult.
To me, yes.
And not the Wicca or the true Christian.
To me, yes. Because I had this come up recently. I had a friend whose parents are renowned in this community to be good Christian people. Well, something happened, and it was not appropriate, and I got blamed for being a part of it. Okay? A good Christian person would have said, I need to hear your side of the story so I can make a judgment, an educated decision on what I'm going to believe. Instead, it was, well, we are no longer speaking to you, maybe someday, but we will pray for your forgiveness. Now, that is not a good Wiccan person, a good Christian person, a good Buddhist person, a good Muslim person. If you close your mind off and you make that judgment, then you are doing the one thing that all of these religions say is a sin.
So the world leaders that are gathering together their magic, gathering together their talismans and their indoctrinations, speaking words of war and threatening not only harm to the earth, but harm to the human race itself, for nothing more than their own power.
That's correct.
And this is evil.
Yes, and they will be punished. Look at the changes in the economy in the past 2 years.
Well,
it's all about greed and whether this nation's going to be stronger than that nation. Okay? Even in Christianity, in Buddhism, in being Muslim, being Wiccan, you have one desire, and that is for everyone to exist in harmony regardless of their beliefs. Now, there has to be balance. There has to be as much bad as evil. As much evil as good. It doesn't mean evil's going to win, but there will be evil things upon the earth no matter what religion you are. But evil is manifesting itself as Christianity, as what's best for the earth, as saying you need to listen to this and you need to get rid of those ideas. There have been bookstores, one of them you're going to do a signing at, that have sold stuff on Wiccan religion. One of them in particular sold herbs and candles until recently. And the Christian authorities became so hostile and wanted Christians to boycott this store that they had to stop selling some of the stuff they were selling.
Well, see, I have no problem with a boycott. I mean, if people that don't want to participate in something, they want to stop buying at that store, that's fine.
That's true, but they shouldn't be told to do it.
That's the American way.
Yeah, but they're being told, in order to be a good Christian, this is what you have to do, and that's wrong. In order for me to be good, no matter what religion I'm in, I have to be good to the human race.
Yes.
And fair.
Well, so, I can tell you that any force that is trying to tell you that you cannot think for yourself and trying to tell you that you cannot use your life force on this earth, it cannot be right. It cannot be good. Now, I do know you asked about the economy in the last 2 years. Specifically, the only thing that's really wagging the economy right now is the price of oil.
And why is the price of oil going up?
Because those that buy and sell oil have jacked the price up so they can make a profit. And
that's all it's about. That's right.
And governments do not buy and sell oil.
Individuals
are forcing the price to do what
that's
it is
right.
doing.
It's called greed. And that is another thing that is just pure evil. I have raised my four children and every child in my neighborhood, and my neighbors can tell you. And theoretically, I do not even have poverty-level income. But I do it without nothing. It's because I have faith in the good and the light side of my world, and that's what I see. Now, we have talked about a vast many of things, and I would like to encourage everybody that hears this to go to your library, go to your bookstore. It does not matter which religion you follow. In order to make sure that you are defending that religion when you're talking and doing it appropriately, you need to know about the other religions, and you need to see what's out there. Reading about a religion or knowing about something does not make you good or evil. It makes you knowledgeable. And there are people that are listening to this broadcast who are confused, who are hurting, who have money problems and marital problems and children that are driving them crazy and they're hurting. Meditation and taking the positive from nature and the energy from nature can help these people. And I would hope that the one thing with this interview that I have done is shown that Wiccan religion is not of Satan and is not bad. And I would encourage those people to read the book, for them to start practicing Wicca, but for them to understand there are other options out there. And believe me, you can have Christianity and Wicca in the same home, and you can respect those religions, and you can use both religions, and you can make a good life.
I have been in many Catholic homes where they have different colors hanging in different rooms, candles burning, different kinds of crosses, different kinds of talismans or symbols or idols, whatever you want to call them. These are good Christian people, but they also know that there is power, there is solace, there is support in these kinds of forces.
In nature.
I don't know any of our listeners that are completely self-supporting. That is to say, I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't need some kind of help.
Yes.
We know Dr. Fred Bell is an expert at designing crystals and reflectors of crystals so that life energies that are in the world can be amplified.
Yes.
Certain jewels are better for certain people, and that's a choosing process that you go through. But it is clear that receiving these energies, amplifying and focusing these energies on your soul, your spirit, does bring you support, can fend off evil, can give you insight into the future, the past, purpose. Because I don't know anybody that doesn't need help when you come up to those really big choices.
Yes.
I call them juxtapositions. Places you get in space as an individual where the decision you make will affect many decisions later on, will
yes.
change the course of your life,
yes.
who you marry, what job you want to take. We talked about the optimum trajectory the other week with Brent Miller when we were talking about remote viewing. This optimum trajectory is probably the greatest question any human being can ever have. Why on earth you would want to throw out perfectly good truth just because of a tradition is beyond me. In fact, it has been the ruin of many civilizations.
Yes, and we were talking about this, okay? My life has had a very sordid past. I have had many miserable failures, all because I did not pay attention to the direction that nature was putting me in. There are many parents listening to this broadcast. Please, take your children to the zoo. Let them walk in the grass barefooted. Let them squish mud between their toes. Let them play with the animals. Let the babies play with each other. If they pull hair and they fight, it's normal. Let them be with the things that are natural. So their lifespan knows that they can commune with nature and it will make them better. It is a power source. Whatever deity, entity, however you choose to put it, that created this earth we lived on, gave us every single thing that we need to survive and be healthy.
Now, that being said, we're not advocating becoming an animal. The idea of becoming human is to transcend the animal desires that we have. You know, it is said in just about every scripture there is, that the natural man is an enemy to God. Well, the natural man is an enemy to man, too.
Yes.
What I mean by natural is that you follow the passions of your heart, be it sex or alcohol or drugs or inflicting pain on someone else or hoarding things or stealing from other people or murder, even. These are all the natural animal of mankind. This is the predator in man. This is the evil side of man. What we're talking about tonight, Wicca, Christianity, indeed X Squared Radio, we're all about trying to enhance the metamorphosis in mankind so that we can become one with our earth, one with our universe, one with the energy that makes us the beautiful and creative and loving spirit that we really are. This race, I believe, is on the verge of a metamorphosis. And I believe we have been here before as a race. And we failed. We have fought each other to extinction. We have been wiped out by cataclysms because we were not ready when the cataclysms came. I cannot think of a more important lesson to learn from all of this, then there is knowledge and information that's available to you from all kinds of sources that can save you, can save your family, it can give you peace, even in poverty, it can give you peace in sickness, it can give you peace and love one with another, sensitive to one another's needs. These are the good things, and I believe this was the interpretation of lessons that we learned from the greatest teachers that ever lived. This is what it's about. And I think we've kind of caught the spirit of Wicca tonight.
Yes, as long as we remember, never close your mind off to something that you find to be non-traditional. Always, always approach everything with, I may have never seen this. I may not believe this, but what if? Always, what if? Question.
Just remember, the end of every civilization that has disappeared off this earth has always been the traditions of the fathers. That is what has destroyed them. We're talking about relieving yourself of those traditions. We're talking about listening to the true energy, Akasha, the pure energy of life. We're talking about listening to the earth. We're talking about listening to other dimensions. You cannot say, because we live in the third dimension and I see with my eyes, that this is the only thing that I believe. Regardless of that, all that information, all that energy, all that glory, if that's what you want to call it, it's still out there. And there are people that are sensitive to different frequencies, different yes. vibrations, different colors. Pay attention to them. Work with them. Don't be prejudiced against them. Don't reach out and say, oh, you don't belong to my particular
church on the corner, the first or the third or the fifth or the free will or the missionary or whatever, so therefore you're evil. Don't be that way.
And always, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
But always open your mind to learn something every day, because every single person that passes through your life passes to leave something and to take something. Always be on that quest to learn, and that makes you learn about who you are.
And we manage our life moment by moment.
Yes, we do.
Even in the midst of chaos and ruin, there is peace and love, and we can share that with one another. Well, next week, our guest has not confirmed yet. I hope to confirm that individual later in the week, but he has published a series of 6 papers on the creation of the universe. Absolutely fascinating stuff from just about any aspect you want to approach it. We're talking about much more to it than the Big Bang. Believe me, you will be fascinated by this. So be sure to tune in next week at X Squared Radio. That's at x2-radio.com or at bbsradio.com. And remember, Earth Explorers, who you are. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe. So try to do it on purpose every day. And remember, every life is immensely valuable, including yours, and your potential is absolutely unlimited. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you'll see you've saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying peace, Earth Explorers.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.